Good morning, Rabbi Sai. Halimut of Hilchas Lashon Hara Chilus from the Chofetz Chaim is the Schus Refuah of Yosef Dov Bechayla, Yishtava Refuah Shleima, B'soich Kol Sha'ari, Shah Chayla Yisrael, B'korov. So, until now, we were learning in Hilchas Rechilus Klal Tess about how to prevent somebody from coming to harm. I know that someone else is going to come to harm or suffer damages or something like that. So, how to prevent a long-term relationship from happening, like we said, like a shidduch or a partnership. And then we discussed, what about a one-off situation where I know that Ploini is going to damage, yeah, that Levi is planning to damage Shimon, and therefore I want to warn Shimon and make him aware. And we discussed the tanoim involved in that. Says the Chofetz Chaim now, so what about if I want to prevent damage to me? Till now we've been talking about damage to someone else. I know that Ploini is planning to do damage to the other Ploini. Now we're talking about where I'm the person who's at risk. They bring down an example. It's an example that we had already, where you've got, let's say, a decorator. Kalman is a decorator, and he's working at Chaim's house.
Defense of the self.
Boss? Defense of the self we're talking about, yes. So Kalman's a decorator. He's finished the job. He goes to the Balabos Chaim, and he says, the job is finished. I want to be paid. Yeah, can you pay me, please? And Chaim starts coming up with all sorts of tainus that this isn't done well, that isn't done well. You left this bit out, and you should have done it. It is included.
It is included.
It's not included. And Chaim is being, as far as Kalman is concerned, that all his tainus are just an excuse not to pay. Right? He doesn't want to pay, and therefore he's coming up with all these excuses, and they're not justified, and he's entitled to his money, and he says, you have to pay me, it's the end of the week, I've got to go home, I've got to make Shabbos, and this Chaim has got no rachmonos on him whatsoever.
There was a contract.
And he says, you haven't fulfilled the contract, and he says, and then he starts threatening the decorator. And he says to him that unless you do these extra things that I require of you, I won't pay you. And not only that, I'm going to go around the whole of town telling everybody what a bad decorator you are, and that you're unreliable, and that your workmanship is not good, and that you don't fulfill your contracts, etc., etc., etc. So now, Kalman the decorator knows, not only is he at risk that he's not going to get paid, but he is also at risk that the guy's going to ruin his panosa. And we're talking, says the Chofetz Chaim, about somebody who, generally speaking, by reputation, keeps his word. It's not an empty threat. He will take a go around town. He'll put an advert in the local advertiser saying, beware, don't use Kalman the decorator. Yeah, because he's unreliable, because he's not honest, because he doesn't do a good job, because he doesn't finish what he starts. He'll come up with all the tainus. And therefore, now, says the Chofetz Chaim, Is Kalman the decorator now entitled to do things in order to prevent the damage from happening to him? First of all, to try and get his money, and secondly, to try and prevent the person ruining his panosa. Says the Chofetz Chaim, clearly he's allowed to do that. That means, though, that he's going to tell Rechilus. He's going to have to go and tell somebody, whether it's a relative of Kalman, whether it's an associate of Kalman, whether it's Kalman's parents, whether it's Kalman's Rov, that he's going to have to go and tell other people about what he accuses Kalman of, what he accuses Chaim of, that Chaim is dishonest, that Chaim doesn't want to pay him, that Chaim's just finding excuses to get his decorating done for nothing. So therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, he's clearly allowed to. That's not called Rechilus, that's Rechilus L'Toyeles. Of course you've got to fulfill all the conditions that we've been discussing till now. You're not allowed to exaggerate, and you've got to think very carefully about it, and all the other things that we discussed till now. But providing that you fulfill the conditions, says the Chofetz Chaim, but obviously because you're the injured party, because you're the person who's at risk of being hurt, or hurt physically, or hurt financially, therefore a person gets emotional, and a person's likely to exaggerate. A person's likely to make things sound worse for effect. A person's likely to maybe do more hishtadlus than he might need to. He doesn't have to speak to the Rov and to the parents, and to the friends, and to the associates, etc. So if he says when it's you who are the injured party, or the potentially injured party, you've got to be doubly careful that when you go around speaking rechilos, which will be mutter l'toyeles, but you've got to be extra careful because you have a personal involvement, you have a personal nekiyah, be careful that you fulfill all the conditions properly, then it's mutter.
Started at Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, cough test, Teves, 29th of January.
Morning.
Rabbi Emmanuel Danan Schlita, part one of three, davening through intermediaries. This week, Torah was sponsored by family Morgan, the third source on the swim of Daniel Krauss, Neri and Raisi Morgan, who took here. This custom took place last Sunday. He hit Rotson, Shivan, and died in the morning. So, the shame they said, oh, let's go to the Shulim, the Horse of Swift, the Shalom, Bin Hey Ro.
Good morning, my name is Rabbeisai. I'm really excited to be able to share this series, especially as Josh Frankel gave me an opportunity to give it in three sessions, so therefore we don't have to cram everything into a small, into a tight allotted time. I do hope that it will be informative and be practical, and I certainly find the subject fascinating, and the more I delve into it, the more gems I find. The topic we're speaking about today is about a very, very basic question. As that is, Avodas Hashem, davening, particularly davening to Hashem, are we allowed to daven through intermediaries? That means, can we ask the Malachim or the celestial spheres, spiritual, to intercede on our behalf and to take our tefillahs, or to be melitz upon us, to recommend us to in Shemaim, or it's direct between us and Hashem. So what we're going to start with, the plan for this series, is first of all to raise the questions, to show what the questions are. We're going to base ourselves on the Rambam, because it's when it comes to Yesodei Emunah and Ikrei Emunah, the Rambam is where to start, and then we'll go through the tefillahs which seem to contradict this, and in order to come to a resolution and to come to an understanding of this matter, we're going to have to delve into what is exactly Avodah Zarah, what exactly does it entail, and once we've understood that, that's mainly what we're going to be concentrating today on, what is Avodah Zarah, and understanding the Rambam's outlook of what exactly Avodah Zarah is. And then Bezos Hashem, in the next couple of weeks, we'll go through the tefillahs and through the many, many sources in Chazal which seem to indicate that you can and perhaps should turn to Hashem through intermediaries, and how we can reconcile the two. I'm sure that the audience here are aware of some of the questions which pop up, but we're going to start right from the beginning. The Rambam in his Yud Gimel Ikrim, which is to be found, Rabbi Yisai, where can we find the 13 principles of faith in the Rambam? In Pirush HaMishnayos in Sanhedrin. Yeah, interesting that in Yad HaChazaka, in his Halacha Sefer, All the Yesodei HaEmunah are there, but you won't find them in the list of 13. Here are the 13 Yesodei Hadas. But the Rambam writes that they are clearly delineated in Pirush HaMishnayos. Rabbi Yisai, we are being Isaac in the Yesod Chamishi, the fifth principle of Emuna. So if we're going to go to number five, we have to start from number one, back to basics. And therefore, the first Yesoid, Rabbi Yisai, what's the first Yesoid of Yiddishkeit? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. That's number one. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nimtza, his existence, he exists. And his existence is independent of any other existence. Number two, easy. How do we remember? Number two, he's one, not two. Right? He's Eshma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. That being that exists, that supreme being, is only one, not two. Number three, he doesn't have
form.
Doesn't have a guf, doesn't have a body, or he doesn't have attributes of a guf. That means he's not sad, he's not happy, he doesn't get nachas. All the emotions, all the feelings that we have, and we associate that with Hashem, Hashem gets ikanoi, zealous, angry, those are all borrowed terminology. That is the way Hashem actually shows himself. Because we can only tell Hashem, we can only recognize him from his actions, from the way he manifests himself. We don't know. His true self is devoid of any description. In fact, the only thing we can describe about Hashem is, apart from that he exists, we can only describe what he isn't. Right? He's not physical. He doesn't have any negative flaws. We can't, the atzmius, the Atzmus Hashem Yisbarach, you cannot define him. As the Chacham says, Ilu Yedativ Hayisiv. If I knew him, I would be him. Only God can understand God, right? Only he fully understands. And not even the highest Malach, the highest Bria of Ruchnius, can truly understand Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Haydienu, haydieni na is darachecha." Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem to reveal himself to him. And what does Hashem says? You cannot see my front, you can only see my back. How could Moshe Rabbeinu think he can understand Hashem? He can understand the true essence of Hashem. Rabbi Yisai, yeah? Moshe Rabbeinu, who had more of a idea, he should have known that it's impossible for a finite, not just for a finite being, for any created being to understand Hashem. You see, the answer is, he wanted to fully understand Hashem's ways. Derech, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves in this world. Of course we will never understand Hashem, right? We have more and more knowledge of Hashem, and it's Da'as Elokei Avicha, as David HaMelech told Shlomo HaMelech, we need to understand him from his ways, from the Torah, that which is given us to understand his ways, but his true essence we'll never understand. Moshe Rabbeinu thought, but it's possible to fully grasp Hashem's ways. Yeah? We can read the Sefer like Derech Hashem, and perhaps to fully understand and have no questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhoga. Hashem said, no, even that you don't have. And in fact, what was his question? The Gemara says in Brochus, his question was Rosh, the old age question. Rosh HaVetayv Loi Tzadik V'Raloi. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, with all the answers to that philosophical questions, why do good people suffer? Why do evil people prosper? Hashem said, there's a limit. There are answers, but you will never fully comprehend the answer. So what we're mentioning is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can know Hashem. So that's what we mean. He doesn't have a guf or any attributes of a guf. And Yesoid, the fourth ikar, we're now moving on to the fourth ikar, is Rishon. He is Rishon V'ein Reishis L'Reishisoy. What does that mean? He's first, but not like a first like we know. Everything first, a firstborn, first one who wins a race. Every first that we know of is always coming onto the scene. He's just his number one. When we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being number one, it doesn't mean he came before everybody else. It means he always existed. There's no such thing as when did God come into being? No, he always was. There's nothing else that you can say about that, about it. It always was. Right? Hu Rishon v'Hu Acharon. That is infinite, his infinite nature. Then Yesod HaChamishi. Now that we have understood the essence of what we can know about Hashem, that he exists, he is one, he is not two, and he's infinite. That means there is no power apart from him. Right? Because why is Olam Kadmon, Rabbi Yisrael, just very, very basic, why is to believe that the world always was? This was the old heresy of the Greeks, of Aristotle. They said you don't have to speak about a creation of the world. Where did the world come from? It just was. It just always was. Just like they turned to us and they said, just like you believe God always was, we believe that the world always was. So I don't have to answer the question, who created the world? The world always was. Why is that a direct contradiction to the first three principles? Because if the world always was, then there's a power independent of God, right? There's something here which always existed. Yeah? It didn't need a creator. So that means there's some other power apart from Hashem. That's why Olam Kadmon, and that's why the Rishonim are so adamant, which is interesting, that in today's society, they all believe in a creation, in a Big Bang. But really, in essence, they don't. Even today's, even though it's tweaked itself, heresy, and they do believe that the world did come into existence. It wasn't always as we see it today. But there is one Nekudah, whatever they call it, that ball of energy which exploded. They never explain where that original matter was, or whatever the thing which exploded and gave us this amazing universe. They never explain that. That's also Olam Kadmon. So all they're doing is shifting the question to the stage before. They'll own, without a creator, they'll have to say that mass of energy was always there, right? Otherwise, who created it? So that's Yesod Dalit. So Yesod HaChamishi, Rabbi Yisai, on the handout, what's the fifth? Is it automatic follow on from the first four? And the Rambam says, Yesod HaChamishi, Hashem Yisale, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Supreme One, Hu Asher, says the Rambam, Ro'ui le'ovdoi, he is the one that one we should serve him, worship him, u'le'roi memoi, and to praise him, to speak about his praises, u'le'farsem g'dulosoi u'mashma'osoi, and to make known his greatness and mashma'osoi. Mashma'osoi, what's this word, mashma'osoi? So the Rishonim use terminologies which we're not so acquainted with. There's mitzvos sichliyos and mitzvos shimiyos. What does that mean? Mitzvos sichliyos and mitzvos shimiyos. So a typical example of a mitzvah sichli, after l'racha kamoicha, lo'y sirtzach, avodah zarah. What does it mean? It's seichel, it makes sense. Right? Mitzvos shimiyos means you'll never be able to work it out unless I tell you. Bos of a cholov, kilaim, right? Ribis, perhaps, it could be. Shimiyos comes from the Loshon of Shema. Shema, you need to hear. You will not be able to work out the mitzvah unless I tell you. So that's why they're called shimiyos. So when the Rambam here says, Lefrasim gdulosoi mashma'osoi. Mashma'osoi means his laws that we need to abide by. You need to perform my mitzvahs because I have told you. You need to listen to me. So the Rambam says we only worship, praise, and apart from praising, we need to be concerned about other humanity, also for them to know about the greatness of Hashem. If I only care about myself and my recognition of Hashem, That indicates a flaw in my avodas Hashem. Why do I not care about others? So that's lefarsim gdulosei, his greatness, umashmaosei, the greatness of his laws that I need to abide by. Ve'ein oisin kein, lema shelemata mimenu b'mitzios mina malachim. Sorry, that's a mistake there. Mina malachim. We do not do so for anything which is below him in stature. Whether it's malachim, malachim are the highest, the most spirit. They have no physical form whatsoever, right? Va'koychovim va'galgalim. Rambam holds that koychovim are live beings. Do you know that? The Rambam holds that all planets apart from Earth are living beings. Very interesting. When Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, there's a piece about it in MS Liakov Pashas Bereshis. When he landed on the moon, they say, oh, he landed on the moon. The moon seems still. It seems inanimate. Is this not a proof against the Rambam? Right? Because the moon looked like Earth, right? It was certainly dead in every sense. I don't understand the question. I don't understand. The Rambam it definitely agrees that the Koychovim, the stars and the planets, are physical beings. He just says they are physical beings which have a life, right? They are a power. They're like Malachim, but in a physical form. So just because man landed on it, I never understood really what was the question of the Rambam. So that's the next level, right? That's Kachavim and Gagalim is the celestial spheres in which we find those Kachavim, Vayesoidos, and the powers which are below that. V'chol mashahurkav men. That means any spiritual world whatsoever, you may not praise, you may not worship, and you're not allowed to publicize their greatness. Says the Rambam, why not? Lefi shekulam mutboim bepeuloi sehem, because they are all in nature, they are forced. They don't have any free will. They're robots, they're sticks, they are just the means by which Hashem runs this world. He runs this world just like he runs this world. You need to sow the grain in order to get bread. So too, when Hashem bestows of his good, he does it via Malachim, he does it via his channels, and they're all their channels, they're just a channel. You're never going to praise a pipe, or a stick, or anything which is just a conduit. So therefore, that's this Yesoid, that you're not allowed to worship them. Ein laim shiltoin veloy bechira, they have no power. They have no independent power, right? Just like a gun, or even, may we say, an atomic bomb. Tremendous power. In itself, it doesn't have any power at all, right? Doesn't have, right? The most destructive power that we can think doesn't have its own choice. That's not called rulership, right? A knife, a gun, right? It's all dependent on Hashem's will. That's why we cannot worship them. Now, what does it mean to worship these powers? That means, let's say, for example, Gavriel or the Malach, the Malach in charge of the Midas Adin. So, if a person thinks, you know what that Malach wants, he wants me to act with Din. He wants me to be precise, and I say, you know what? I am going to be to work on my Midas Adin because I want to appease the Midah or the Malach in charge of Din. Look what he's done. He's being nisnaig in the way of Yitzchak Avinu. Yeah, Midas Adin. But he's doing it because I want the Malach to be pleased with me. That, the Rambam says, is Avodah Zarah. If I do chesed like Avram, because I wanna appeal and I wanna appease to the malach of chesed, to that power, that, says the Rambam, is mamish avodah zara. Amazing! You're doing the same. Here you have, you know, two Jews doing exactly the same thing, and he's mamish oved, and this person is mamish doing avodah zara, because says the Rambam, you cannot serve intermediaries because they do not have an independent power. Rabbi, can we work? Rambam calls it avoida. We call it worship. But worship is really work. It means subjugating myself. Can I do that to another human being? Can I work really, really hard for another human being? Can I praise him to the sky? You can.
Sure.
You can. What's the difference? Because why am I not allowed to praise the Malachim? Says the Rambam. He doesn't have a choice. Praise, by nature, when you praise something, it's something which has free choice. You can't praise a beautiful sunset. You can't praise an amazing... To go to the mountains and see the beauty of the mountains, that's not praise. The praise is what they represent. The beauty is what they represent. But praise only applies to something which has free choice. Therefore, a human being has a free choice. Since he has a free choice, me serving him, just working for him, otherwise you wouldn't be able to have an employer. You wouldn't... Bnei Israel wouldn't be able to be slaves, because that's Yehareg Val Yavor. If I'm not allowed to worship, what's worship? That means work and subjugate myself to another power. Why were Bnei Israel allowed to be slaves? It should be Moisa Nefesh. The answer is because a human being is a Baal Bechira. The Rambam says the reason why you're not allowed to is because they are mutboim. They are forced. They have no free choice. Mimela, this answers the next bit, which is what we're interested in. Says the Rambam, under this title is the following. Va'oid nichlal be'yesoid zeh. She'ein oisin oisom emtsoim la'agia bo'em eilov. In not only may you not worship them and praise them independently of Hashem, but you know what? Even if I say I'm turning my avodah to Hashem, it's to Hashem. However, I'm using them as intermediaries. You cannot do that. Ela klapav yisale yechavnu ha-machshavos. You have to think. Your mind has to be directed directly to Hashem. V'yanichu kol ma shezulosoi. And therefore, you must leave any intermediaries. You want the malach. You want this malach arachamim, malach arachamim, to besiege on your behalf, or to help you with your tefillas. No, says the Rambam. That also you may not do. Why? Because when I'm turning to the malachim, the malach does not have free will. Therefore, by turning to him, you're giving him an independent power. That itself contradicts this yesod. The Rambam here has therefore answered, says somebody who has a Torah bebeisoy, yeilech letzadik, he should go to a tzadik and have the tzadik daven for him. What's the difference, Rabbi Isai? The Rambam has answered this question. Bechira, amazing thing. You can go to a human being. Tzaddik is an example. You can ask anybody to daven on your behalf. Yeah? Not only it's not Avodah Zarah, that's what you should do. Why? Because ein chavush yomotzei atzmeim. Sometimes you need somebody from outside the prison to get you out. So the prisoner himself can't get himself out. So you go to a human being, whoever it may be, mutar and commended. You do that too. A spiritual power which is very, very high up, has a hakara of Hashem, has much greater recognition of Hashem, avodah zarah, Rambam says. V'zeh yesod ha-chamishi hu ha-azhara al avodah zarah v'roiv ha-toyra ba lehazer hazeh. The Rambam says, avodah zarah is this. Is using intermediaries, and avodah zarah, it does not mean I believe that the sun made this world. I believe the sun is the only power of fire in the sky, in the universe. That's not avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is to believe that all those powers that Hashem put, he made them like MPs. MPs have a certain, independence, right? They are given certain, they don't need to go to the government or the ministers which a king appoints don't need to go to clear it with the king for every decision they made. They have given a certain amount of independence because the king cannot take care of every single chore that there is to do. Says the Rambam, that was Avodah Zarah, that they thought all these unbelievable powers that run this world have an independent koyach, and therefore either I serve them, I subjugate myself to them, or I use them as intermediaries. That's all Avodah Zarah. Okay, Amalach HaKoel Oisi, right, the Mephoshim asked this. The answer is the Pasuk. How does that pasuk? We start the song from Amalach HaKoel Oisi, but what's the Pasuk before that? Rabbi Yisai? HaElokim HaRoi Oisi Me'oidi Ad HaYoim HaZeh, Hashem who has shepherded me from the time I came into existence until this very day. And then the pasuk, and then the next pasuk says, "Amalach HaGoel Oisi." Well, you didn't say a sentence. You didn't say a sentence. All you said is, "God, who looked after me since I was born, and looked after my father." Well, what about him? The answer is, "May you make the malach that always accompanied me bless me." Right. So he's turning to Hashem. I like it. You have to start the pasuk before. He's turning to Hashem to make his malach bless him. And Hashem does things through malachim.
There's no concept of delegation.
Sorry?
Delegated certain things to certain
koichos. He has, right. He just like a person has got many channels, many pipes, and he's got water, and he's got a sewage, and he's got other things through, they're doing tremendous things, these pipes, but they don't have an independent power. But that's, Hashem does things through intermediaries. That is the way. But they don't, the Rambam says, they don't have their own power, their own existence. That means they don't have, that's an amazing thing. The human being has been the greatest gift that Hashem gave to existence is the power of free choice. That's an amazing thing. Keep on telling my Talmidim. The greatest gift that Hashem gave anybody is the ability to go against his will. To exercise my free will against him. Right? And as you're probably aware, there's quite a lot of philosophical questions. This. How can, if Hashem is Einoi Milvadoi, how does a person have a free choice? Yeah, but that, whatever it is, it's called the Yesod HaTzimtzum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol pulls away and he gives you that free choice. Not even the highest celestial power has that. And we in Yigdal we see this. Yeah, Hinoi Adonai Olam Lechol Noitzar Yoreged Ulosoy Malchusoy. He is an eternal master Lechol Noitzar. He is a master, direct master to every created being. And he teaches his greatness and his kingship. What does that mean? How does that show that you, how does these words in the Pismon of Yigdal, how do they indicate that I need to turn to him and not to any others? Right? So actually, if you see at the bottom on Ha'ara, on the first, number one, some are actually Goyres. Hinoi Adonai Olam. He is a master for the whole world. Direct master, not via intermediaries. Therefore, V'chal Noitzar, every created being, not Yoyre. Yoyre means teach. Yoyde Gedulaso Yumalchusoy. Therefore, you need to praise his kingship and his greatness and his chesed. Not because he is Adon Olam, because he is master, direct master over the whole created being. Therefore, you need to thank him and recognize his gedula and not the gedula of his creations. Right. So that's the Rambam. That's very clear. And it's a second chat that you may not use intermediaries. So now. Okay, so we need to finish here, but I hope that was enough of an introduction to give you an appetite of the questions which we have. There are many tefillahs where we seem to either turn to the malachim or There are many tefillahs we seem to be turning to the people who have died already, who l'chaira have no longer any free choice. Therefore, there should be no room to permit to turn to us, even if we tell them, please beseech Hashem on our behalf. Thank you for listening. And Bezos Hashem will continue. Yeah, you can keep it, and I'll keep the here as well.
I need you to be Marat the hit.